evening to all. Like was mentioned by Brother Todd, the scripture reading tonight will be from Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. And I'll be reading out of the King James Version. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not two doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yeah, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And again, if correctly read, that was Romans 14, verses 1 through 4.
To be with you again tonight. Hope everyone had a good, restful, and peaceful afternoon. Hopefully your Bibles are open to Romans, the 14th chapter. We'll spend just a few minutes tonight looking at this particular portion of God's Word. And it's a wonderful passage of Scripture. Romans 14 is one of the great chapters in the book of Romans. And that, of course, is saying a lot because the book of Romans is one of the great pieces of literature that has ever been written. The sad thing about Romans 14 is that it has been hijacked by false teachers. And the way that they use Romans 14 is they try to open the door to allow doctrinal matters into the chapter. The reason that's so sad, I'll continue with that in a second, but the reason that's so sad is because Romans 14 really has a wonderful practical application for all of us who are Christians. There are at least two good things that we ought to think about so far as practical Christianity is concerned that we can learn from Romans 14. But again, false teachers have opened the door to doctrinal matters. They have allowed doctrinal matters into the Romans 14. And that is a huge, huge problem because there's really no stopping place when you do that. And we need to understand that what their position is that we can agree to disagree on major doctrinal issues as long as we believe in Jesus. And the danger to that is that you really can't restrict. If you're going to open the door to Romans 14 with regard to doctrinal matters, which doctrines are you going to allow into Romans 14? And which ones are you going to say, no, you can't put that there? And the truth of the matter is, if you allow just one doctrinal issue into Romans 14, then you have to allow all doctrinal issues into Romans 14. Like, you can't just take your little doctrine that you like and that you want to justify and say it goes under the umbrella of Romans 14 and then get upset when you think someone is going too far and adding something that you don't like under the umbrella of Romans 14. It's either no doctrinal issues or all doctrinal issues. And over the years, there's been some controversy among brethren. Of course, I really don't pay much attention to denominationalism with regard to this, because the truth of the matter is most denominations get Romans 14 wrong. So there's no real controversy among them. They basically see it the same way. They see it as if all doctrinal issues are being dealt with in Romans chapter 14. In local churches of Christ, among Christians, there are those who say you can add doctrinal issues, and then there are those like me who say, no, you can't add any doctrinal issues into Romans 14. So it's very important that we do understand the nature of this powerful chapter of Scripture. And again, to me, it's sad that we have to even spend time dealing with this, because it then takes our attention away from the good practical teaching that is there in Romans 14. But here's how I know that you can't add doctrinal issues into Romans 14. You notice at verse 1, it says, "And as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions." That's what he's dealing with in this context. Things that fall under the category of a matter of opinions. And the fact of the matter is, while you may feel very strongly about a particular issue, if God hasn't legislated it, if there's no book, chapter, and verse for it, then it's just a matter of opinion. And I may feel, again, very strongly about certain things, but at the end of the day, my opinion doesn't matter. It's what God teaches and what God binds upon us that is important, and that is important not just to get right, but really to the salvation of our souls. Why is that? 2 John chapter 1 at verse 9, you remember John said, "If anyone transgresses and adds and doesn't abide in the doctrine of Christ or the teaching of Christ, he has not God." That makes doctrinal issues very important. If you abide in the doctrine of Christ, you have both the Father and the Son. And so we have to get this right. Now, there's some people who, again, they want to just add a few things. There are some who just want to add the worship of the church under the umbrella of Romans 14. So there are those who come along and say, "Well, it really doesn't matter if we use a musical instrument and the worship of God or not. That's just a Romans 14 issue." They don't want to go much further than that. They don't want to dive into moral issues or anything like that. But so far as worship, it doesn't really matter, long as your heart is in the right place. Then there's other brethren who come along, and they want to add not only the worship, but also the work of the church. And so how you use the Lord's money is important. What work you do, from fun and frolic and recreation and entertainment, that all goes under the umbrella of Romans 14. And then there's others who hold, again, to the idea of faith and faith only, and so they're the ones who would put any doctrinal issue under the umbrella of Romans chapter 14. As long as you believe in Jesus, you're okay. And then there's still others who would put even moral issues. I have a book in my office that was authored by a fellow who believes that homosexuality should be placed under the umbrella of Romans 14. And you think to yourself, "Well, you certainly can't do that." You can put moral issues under the umbrella of Romans 14. Yes, but if you open up the door to any doctrinal issue, how are you going to say no to that? It's either all or none. And we know, really, that the answer is none. Because as Paul says here, and I know this is the ESV version, but Paul uses the word opinions, and what he's dealing with are matters that are indifferent to God. And there's even more, because as we read down, it says one person believes he may eat anything while the weak person eats only vegetables. Now, so we know that the issue that he is dealing with primarily, he starts talking about days a little bit later, but the primary issue is the eating of meat. Can we eat meat that has been sacrificed to an idol? That was a real issue in the first century with regard to the church. Particularly those who were Gentiles, and they grew up worshiping false gods by their sacrifices. Can we now eat the meat that was used in those kind of sacrifices? Well, the fact of the matter is, God hasn't legislated on that. God doesn't really care. It's indifferent to him whether you're a vegetarian or whether you're a meat eater. God doesn't care. And here's how I know. Not only does Paul refer to these things as opinions, but look at verse 3. He says, "Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him." Now, we just saw from 2 John chapter 1 That God does care about doctrinal issues, about going beyond the doctrine of Christ, the teachings of Christ. And by the way, the teachings of Christ are what we find in this New Testament of ours. That's the teachings of Christ. The Bible refers to it as the doctrine of Christ, sometimes refers to it simply as the gospel, sometimes to the faith, sometimes to the word of faith, but it's all dealing with the same thing, the body of teaching that makes up our New Testament. That's the doctrine of Christ. And if we don't abide in it, John by inspiration said we have not God. But in Romans 14, and what Paul is dealing with, Paul says God will welcome him. That is, it doesn't matter which side you fall on. If you're a meat eater, God welcomes you. If you abstain from eating meat, God will welcome you. That tells me he's not dealing with doctrinal issues. In fact, that should settle the matter. He's not dealing with things that God has again set forth as legislation, where God has made a law with regard to it. It's just a matter of opinion. Again, with eating meat, God doesn't care what you do. Anything that falls into that category they're things God doesn't really care about. You may feel strongly about it, but they're matters of opinion. Now, once we get that straight in our mind, Romans 14 is actually very helpful. When you're dealing with a group of people, any local congregation made up of people, of course, all congregations are made up of people, you know we're going to have disagreements. We know we have different backgrounds. We feel strongly about different things. And as long as it's dealing with situations where it's just a matter of opinion, we can agree to disagree and continue in fellowship and praising God together. And that's an important thing. And so, but there are a couple of principles that with regard to those issues that they were having a problem with, and Paul wants to make sure that the church doesn't have a problem with that throughout the ages. Number one is judging one another when it comes down to matters of indifference. If something is just a matter of opinion, I don't need to be judging you harshly if you disagree with me. Because again, my opinion isn't worth a hill of beans at the end of the day. I may feel very strongly about it, but it really doesn't matter. And when I judge you for taking a position that is maybe the opposite of my opinion, then I'm trying to sit in God's seat. You're not my servant. You're the servant of Christ. And that's what Paul deals with in this particular situation. If you continue to read down at verse 10, it says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to who? To God. And so this is very important. What it has to do really is being humble enough to realize that you don't have to see everything the way I do. We can agree to disagree. I'll give you an example of it. There are some who think, well, it's wrong to put up a Christmas tree at Christmas time and to decorate it. There's other brethren who don't have a problem with that at all. You know what that is? It's a matter of opinion. Unless you can find somewhere where God set forth a law with regard to that. He has not. And so it's just a matter of judgment. And so some brethren do and some brethren don't. I'm not going to judge you if you do that or if you don't do that. I may think in my mind, that's not a very good idea. That's my opinion. That's how I feel about it. We don't have to stop fellowshipping. We don't have to argue and dispute about it. All right. You that's your opinion. It's a matter of God doesn't care about that because he hasn't set forth legislation. And there's all kinds of issues with regard to that. And so we have to make sure that we don't get so filled with pride that we think everybody has to see things just the way we do. Unless you can put your finger on the passage. Now we should all speak the same thing. We there should be no division among us when it comes down to what God has actually set forth as law. That is, anything that is a part of the doctrine of Christ, anything that's under the umbrella of the gospel of Christ, we should be 100% united. But on matters of judgment, we can't allow that to divide us. I've seen brethren get all upset, and even churches divide over the color of the carpet. Or when you're building a new building, what kind of paint, what color paint should we have? Should the fans? I told you before, I was at a congregation where brethren got in a fight over the fans, whether they should be on or off. Like a fist fight. And it's amazing how much damage pride can do. When we start thinking we have to have our own way. My way is absolutely the best way, and that's the way that we have to take, or someone's going to be in trouble. And Paul is saying, don't do that. God doesn't care. But there's another issue with regard to this, and a problem that can arise when we think about this. There's some people, as I said earlier a couple of times, there's some people that you might be dealing with a matter of opinion, and God hasn't set forth legislation on it, but still someone might feel very strongly about it. Like, let's just take this eating meat. There are those who, again, they grew up, and if you're dealing with the Gentiles, they grew up eating meat. And while they ate the meat that was sacrificed to the idol, they were actually worshiping that idol. So for them, that was a problem. And they felt like now that they have been converted, they shouldn't eat that meat because they couldn't do it without thinking of the false god that they used to serve. Where you have other brethren say, well, no, I don't have that particular hang-up. And the fact of the matter is, you shouldn't have that particular hang up either. You should know better. And so I really don't care about the problem that is given you. I'm going to eat meat. In fact, I'll eat meat in front of you. You just need to grow up. And in doing that, that might lead that brother, in this case, he would be the weaker brother. But that might lead that weaker brother to giving in to that kind of pressure and eating the meat, even though it would be a violation of his conscience, and to him that would be sin. But Paul warns them, but if you're the strong brother, you may understand the issue better. But if you eat the meat and it causes your brother to stumble, you're sinning as well. You're sinning against that brother. Some have referred to Romans 14 as the law of love. And I understand why they might view it like that. Because it is a matter of love. People have a tendency to say, well, no, I have the right to do this. It's my right and I'm going to do it. Well, should we have that attitude if we're going to cause brethren to stumble? At verse 13, Paul says, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. Because it would violate that person's conscience for him to eat that meat. For it, and now watch, verse 15. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. Don't ever take the position, it's my right, I'm going to do it no matter what. Maybe it is your right, but you don't have to throw it in the face of a brother or a sister in Christ that might make them stumble. So you think about putting up a Christmas tree. And I might be willing to put up a Christmas tree. I look forward to it. I'm not observing Christmas as the birth of Christ. It's not any kind of a religious holiday. It's just a holiday in which me and my family exchange gifts. It's no more than that. But you can't get over that. You think, no, I don't know. It's Christmas is wrong, and celebrating Christmas as a religious holiday is wrong. And I don't know if you can do all of that without thinking of it as a religious holiday. That might just be his hang-up, and he's sincere about that. Well, I can have the attitude, just grow up. Get over that hang-up. In fact, I'm going to invite you during Christmas time. I'm going to put up a big old Christmas tree, and I'm going to decorate it like never before, and I'm going to invite you over to my house for dinner. Or I can have the attitude, all right, we have a difference of opinion with regard to that. I'm going to put up my Christmas tree. I just won't have you over to my house during this particular period of time because I don't want you to stumble. And again, there are different issues that we can think of that fall into that category. But the point is this. Number one, we don't want to be judgmental when it comes down to matters of opinion because we're not God. And number two, we want to be careful. We want to think and be sympathetic about how other people are feeling or thinking about one of these matters of indifference. And we certainly, above anything else, we don't want to cause a brother or sister to stumble into sin because of something they see us do. We need to learn to disagree, to agree to disagree on certain things, but only things that God has not legislated upon. And that's actually pretty helpful in a church filled with people with different backgrounds and different ideas and their own thoughts about certain things. We can still get along and the cause of Christ can thrive and we can praise God and bring him glory without fighting and fracturing over all kind of things that God at the end of the day doesn't even care about. That's what we need to be careful of. But still, don't put any doctrinal issue. That all of that is true with matters of indifference or what Paul calls opinions, not doctrinal matters. We have to agree on those. We have to be united in the faith. And so that's important. It's important to view Romans chapter 14 correctly. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not do that tonight? We always say, and please know, we're never trying to scare people into obeying the gospel. It is just the truth. Life is like a vapor. James said it. It appears for a while and then vanishes. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is life. You just don't know when you're going to die. You don't know when Jesus is going to come back. And so preparing yourself to meet God in judgment is the best thing to do sooner than later. If you're here tonight and you're not right with God, why not obey the gospel? It's easy. It doesn't involve meritorious works. It's just simply doing what God tells you to do. Acts 2 at verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Nothing difficult in that at all. Repent, have a change of heart, be baptized. We have the water is ready right behind me. You can repent and you can be baptized this very night. Why would you put that off? Now, well, maybe next week. You may not have next week. There's some things I want to do in this life. Some worldly things. I want to have a little bit of fun first, but let me just enjoy that, and then I'll obey the gospel sometime later. How do you know there's going to be a sometime later? Why not obey the gospel tonight? Be buried in the waters of baptism, have your sins washed away by the blood of Christ, become a new creature in Christ, and you know when you lay your head down on your pillow tonight, your soul will be safe. No matter what happens through the night, no matter what happens tomorrow, your soul is saved. And don't think, well, you know, I'm already a member of the Church of Christ. I did all of that. I repented and I was baptized several years ago. Now there's sin in your life. Don't think just because you're a member of the Church of Christ that you're going to make it to heaven. Revelation 2 at verse 10, be faithful unto death. That's what you have to do. If you haven't been faithful, if there's sin in your life, we have God's second law of pardon in Acts 8 verse 22. You need to repent and pray God. You repent, you again have a change of heart towards the sin that's in your life, and you ask God for forgiveness. John said, if you do that, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. You can do that tonight. If you've sinned publicly, come forward, and we'll encourage you and pray for you and help you in any way that we can. But I can't think of one good reason why you should leave tonight in an undone condition. You have the opportunity right now. It might be your last chance. Come forward as we together stand and sing.